Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, September 26th, week 3. In the rearview mirror, it is time for week 4, and we're going to dive right in today with the week 4 waiver wire. Not the most robust, in fact, fewer players on this waiver wire than any week so far this season, but a couple guys up at the top. Obviously a big injury impacting the landscape as well with Mike Williams, so we'll dive into all of that. I also have some defenses for you to stream and the defenses that you should just keep if you have those defenses. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, but let's start with the man himself, Devon Achane. This dude went from being a healthy scratch in week 1 to barely playing in week 2 to being a 200-yard rusher in week 3. Yeah, he is the biggest add of the week. I'm going 25 to 50% on him. However, I am going to issue a word or two of caution. Mike McDaniel was asked yesterday by a beat writer at his presser, what happens when Jeff Wilson and Savon Ahmed return? Because a lot of coaches, and McDaniel has said this himself, will say that players don't lose their spot on the depth chart due to injury. Well, McDaniel was careful to note that while that is still certainly true, that you can potentially move up the depth chart based on performance regarding Achane. However, he also talked about how essentially he's going to use all of these guys and even hinted, now, this is, I don't think this is a thing, but 5 running backs on the field at the same time. It has to be a joke. Although maybe he does that at one point. You get that, right? 5 running backs means you have a quarterback, 5 running backs, and 5 offensive linemen on the field. And that's it. That would be wild. But the point is this. Achane is coming off an amazing game. He is going to be used going forward. Can we guarantee that he's going to be the top in the backfield? No, Raheem Mostert. And I would assume Jeff Wilson's going to get his share. So this almost certainly is the high watermark. However, I'm still adding this dude for ceiling. No doubt about it. 25 to 50%. Tank Dell, 25 to 50% as well. He followed up a breakout game with an even bigger game. That's a tremendous sign because 1 week can be a fluke. 2 weeks is a trend. He is trending in the right direction. Now, I don't expect, and I noted this on the podcast yesterday, don't expect massive performances out of a slot receiver every week, but he is solidified as Stroud's top target. We could see Tank Dell giving us wide receiver 3-esque production going forward. And for me, right now, that is worth 25 to 50%. All right, let's go to Josh Palmer. Yes, he is my preferred out of the Chargers wide receivers. 10 to 15%, though. I'm not going overboard here. Mike Williams is done for the season with the ACL. That sucks. Injuries suck. They really do. But for fantasy purposes, this is a fantasy podcast. In injury, there's opportunity. And there is opportunity now for Joshua Palmer. We have seen him. We haven't even seen him, you know, necessarily just as the number 2. We've seen him as the number 1 in recent seasons, and he hasn't been that bad in that role. So now he'll get an opportunity to be the number 2 target. I will talk about Quentin Johnston in a moment. But how about this? Jaylen Warren, 8 to 12%. He's been consistently dropped over the first 2 weeks of the season. And I will say one of the biggest lessons I've learned in fantasy football is patience. And especially at the beginning of the season, you draft guys for a reason, and that reason is not week 1 or week 2. And so often, fantasy managers are so ridiculously impatient that they end up moving on from guys who, down the line, they're going to regret moving on from. Perhaps Jaylen Warren is one of those guys because he's been widely dropped. He actually played 3 fewer snaps than Najee Harris this past week. He looks explosive in the process. And I like Pittsburgh to right the ship a little bit here offensively as we move forward. Jaylen Warren, a really interesting player to have on benches. Same with Roschon Johnson, 8 to 12%. That team is a mess. Justin Fields is a mess right now. Like, it's not pretty. But I'm not playing for September. I'm playing for December. And every year we see rookie running backs come out of the woodwork. He actually out-touched Khalil Herbert this past week. I think he's worth stashing and viewing him as that. This is one of those moves. This is a chess move where, you know, I think that's what separates a you know, beginning level, even intermediate level player from a more advanced player in fantasy, realizing that you're not just picking up a dude for this week. Like, and you may not even use him this week, next week. It's getting out ahead of the curve against your opponents. Romeo Doubs, 8 to 12%. He's been widely dropped. This is so silly. Finally looks healthy. 12 targets. Didn't obviously only caught five of them, but still. Even when Christian Watson comes back, and it looks like he could be back here for Thursday night, still like Romeo Doubs a lot. He is a top 50 guy for sure. Definitely deserves to be on roster. Probably more like a top 40 guy. Definitely deserves to be on rosters. Adam Thielen, 8 to 12%. We got vintage Thielen. We got revenge game narrative on the slate this week. And I don't think we have Bryce Young under center. We don't know quite yet, but I'll bite. I'll bite on Adam Thielen. He looked really good in that game, honestly, defying Father Time a little bit. I'm not going to get too carried away, but 8 to 12% is fine. Marvin Mims, 7 to 10%. Back-to-back big performances. He only ran 11 routes this past week, but eventually you would think, I mean, the Denver coaching staff has maybe other things on their mind right now, but you would think they would have to acknowledge this and get this guy on the field more. So I'm going 7 to 10%. Tajay Spears, 5 to 10%. He outsnapped Derrick Henry. I don't care about that. Derrick Henry's the lead back. But what I do care about is the fact that Spears is explosive and he has implied value if Henry goes down. Luke Musgrave is the top tight end. This is a weak tight end week. There's only three on my list. 5 to 10% for Luke Musgrave. He's not quite Sam Laporta, but he's not bad at all. Back end tight end one number so far this season. And we haven't seen him reach his ceiling yet. So I'm going Musgrave is the top ad if you're hurting at the position. All right, Quentin Johnston, only 4 to 7%. We are hearing, you know, he could see some downfield work. He is going to get on the field now, obviously, with Williams out, but he is definitively the number three. Now, in that offense, there is enough meat on the bone for that football to go around, the targets to go around. But I'm going to be a slightly, not pessimistic, but cautious with Quentin Johnston to start out. I would much rather Joshua Palmer. Jake Ferguson, 4 to 7%. He's a Dak favorite. He currently sits inside the top 12 in fantasy scoring. I'm not going to doubt it here. Now, granted, he's only like a tick above a 3-for-32 guy, but the target volume's decent. I'll bite on 4 to 7%. Jerick McKinnon, 4 to 7%. We saw flashes of 2022, but I will say this. If you are signing up for Jerick McKinnon, realize what you're signing up for. He is like a running back version of Gabe Davis. Any week could be a big week. Any week could be like two fantasy points. It's a roller coaster ride, and that's pretty much it. Or like T. Higgins is a great example of that. Roller coaster ride. And I don't want to hear what's up with T. Higgins, because if you want to know what's up, go and look at week two. He had a monster week two. He had a down week three. That's T. Higgins. Jerick McKinnon is kind of a running back version of that. But hey, if he's going to be involved in the passing game like that and has that touchdown upside, he's worth a roster spot. Zach Charbonnet worth the roster spot in regular size leagues, 4 to 7%. Ken Walker's locked in as the lead dude. But I thought Charbonnet looked pretty good this week. 10 touches against the Panthers. Also has that implied value as the number two in that backfield. Josh Downs, 3 to 5%. 12 targets, caught 8 of them. The challenge is I don't think the volume is going to continue when Richardson is back, but still, it's Downs ahead of Alec Pierce, it looks like, in the pecking order in terms of targets. Ezekiel Elliott, 3 to 5%. I'm gonna have to have Zeke in some DFS this week. I'm just saying. Revenge game? I mean, come on. But season-long, 17 touches against the Jets, and he honestly looked pretty decent in the game. He's got that implied value to Ramondre Stevenson as well. Kareem Hunt, 3 to 5%. I don't love this one, honestly, but I get it if your waiver wire is picked over and for some reason he wasn't picked up. Jerome Ford is clearly the lead, but Hunt's going to be involved, and he has a little bit of that implied value as well. Elijah Moore will stick in Cleveland here, 3 to 5%. Widely dropped through the first 2 weeks of the season. Caught all 9 of his targets this past week. He's in play as a bench stash. Rondale Moore also, so Moore and Moore back-to-back here, 3 to 5%. Big playability. Can we just play him at running back? I mean, I saw Evan Silva tweeting about that. I get it. I mean, he's a tweener. He's definitely a tweener. But there is a preemptive reason to stash him as well, which I'll get to in a moment. And in fact, we might as well get into it now because I have three quarterbacks going back to back to back at 20, 21, and 22 in waiver wire rankings. Jordan Love is the first of the three, 3 to 5%. It hasn't been pretty. It has not been pretty. But he averages 22.5 fantasy points per game. He's top five at the position. So whatever. I'm going to keep going until... And he has a long leash. They're not putting Sean Clifford in there. C.J. Stroud, 3 to 5%, 906 passing yards over his first three starts. Third most for a quarterback over the first three starts in NFL history. He has played himself into streamer conversation. He has played himself onto the Superflex radar. The third player in this links back to Rondale Moore, Kyler Murray, 3 to 5%. Can't come back until after week four, but he hinted at a return on social media. No guarantees at all here, but honestly, I know a lot of people are struggling at quarterback. This isn't a bad move. Now, I'm not going to roster three quarterbacks in a one quarterback league. So if I had a second quarterback, like it's going to have to be somebody who can be cut. But I wouldn't necessarily balk at that if it's a bad option, and then just stash in Kyler and see what happens. Honestly, the offense showed signs of life, so it could be a whole lot worse. Gerald Everett is the third tight end, 2 to 4%. Honestly, I really don't love this one. I do think he gets an uptick in targets, a slight uptick. But the problem is when they get down in the red area of the field, Donald Parham's the guy, not Gerald Everett. And I don't want to pick up Donald Parham. I don't want to pick up a touchdown-dependent tight end. Most of them are, but especially him. He's not even a 3-for-32 tight end. He's like a 1-for-11 tight end. 1-for-11 and a touchdown. So I don't want him. And I'd be a little bit reluctant with Gerald Everett. I have to be pretty desperate, honestly. Matt Breida, 1 to 3%. Saquon was saying he was, you know, possibly going to be back. I don't think he's back this week. Breida was the clear lead back. This is a much better matchup this week than what we had last week. That was a pretty rough one. He still got in the end zone, but Seattle, I would take that there for Matt Breida. It's a rental play. Let's keep that in mind, but it's not a terrible one at that. Rico Dowdle, 1 to 3%. I thought he looked really nice for the Cowboys this past week. Really flashed some potential, but this one is especially for the Tony Pollard managers. If you haven't learned from, well, we have Saquon, who I just mentioned, Nick Chubb out for the season, Austin Eckler had missed time. Now, I realize Joshua Kelly didn't work out, but still, protect your investment if you have Tony Pollard. Rico Dowdle should be on your bench, unless you're in one of those short bench leagues, in which case you can't use your bench for a handcuff. Melvin Gordon, 1 to 3%. We have Justice Hill banged up with a toe injury. They can be nagging. Gus Edwards in the concussion protocol. Melvin Gordon could be the lead back this week. Now, granted, it is against Cleveland, which, you know, really, by all accounts, is the best defense in the NFL right now. But still, could be the number one back. Rashee Rice, 1 to 3%. Uptick in his work with Richie James now on injured reserve. But I don't love the Kansas City wideouts because the ball is going to be spread around. So it would have to be in a deeper league to pick him up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 1 to 3%. You have some implied value if Pacheco goes down. It's not because he scored a touchdown this past week. That was a garbage time thing. So you get some implied value with Edwards-Helaire if your waiver wire is picked over in deeper leagues. Calvin Austin, 1 to 3% upside with that 72-yard touchdown, but not volume's not going to be in his favor. It does look like Allen Robinson's banged up, though, so that could help Calvin Austin a little bit here, too. DJ Chark, 1 to 3%. Only four catches, but 11 targets for him. 86 yards and a score. All right, Jameis. Deep one quarterback leagues, I guess, but really it's a super flex play. 10% in super flex. Derek Carr will likely miss time here. He's being called week to week. So Jameis is now on the super flex radar. Revenge game this week. I'll get to that in a moment. The Red Rifle himself, Andy Dalton, 5 to 10%. I'm not going to go 10% because Jameis could have a couple starts. Andy Dalton, as of right now, we don't even know if he'll start this week, but this is a good week for him if he does start. I will definitely have some Andy Dalton DFS against Minnesota. So 5 to 10% super flex there. Sean Tucker, 1%. Chase Edmonds is on injured reserve. Tucker's the primary backfield. So deep leagues, if your waiver wire is picked over, he'd be a guy who I'd just toss on a bench if I needed to. Finally, Jacoby Brissett, only go 1 to 3% in super flex. Why? Sam Howell is still the starter, but Sam Howell has 19 count them, 19 sacks taken through the first three games of the season. That puts him on pace for 107 sacks taken. The record, of course, still David Carr in 2002, 76. They could make a move. And this is one of those where you're not playing for this week. You're trying to get out ahead of your league. And Jacoby Brissett would, you know, some weeks be a quarterback too. So get him on the cheap. See if they make a move. Now, I said the same thing about Clayton Tune last week, and then all of a sudden Joshua Dobbs played better. So it's, you know, sometimes you have to try and make these preemptive moves. They don't always work, but you're going to miss every shot you don't take. So this is a shot you could take. I mentioned last week the hold and cut chart over at ftnfantasy.com. So I don't do hold and cut anymore. I think that was pretty bad advice on my part because I don't know your league size, and just blindly saying hold this guy or cut this guy, it didn't work. So I created this little formula that you could use. I then found out that a lot of people don't like using formulas, even though it's pretty simple. You could just do it on your phone calculator. So if you're a subscriber at FTNFantasy.com, one of our Discord guys, subscribers, created a Google Sheets tool. It is in the article at FTNFantasy.com. You click through it, you put your league settings in, and then it tells you basically where the cutoffs are, and then you compare that to rest of season rankings, and it's easy. So that's there for you. All right, if you have any of these defenses, you are good this week. If you have Philadelphia, you're good against Washington. Yeah, really good. San Francisco, you are good against Arizona. Arizona showed signs of life, but come on. Dallas, even without Trayvon Diggs, you're good. You know, against New England, that doesn't intimidate me. Cleveland is the best defense in football. They're facing Baltimore. I don't care. You're good. Kansas City, really surging on the defensive side of the ball, and they get Zach Wilson on the other side of the ball. Then New Orleans as well, facing Tampa. Baker got beat up last night. I'm not intimidated by that matchup. If you have any of those teams, no need to make a move. And I'm serious. Like, if you have Dallas and Kansas City is out there, you don't need to make a move. Just stick with Dallas. Like, there's no reason. The margins between the top defenses they're so thin that really, like, you're shuffling around, but it's like you're just playing roulette anyway. So just stick with the defense you have. We're just trying to be in good matchups to take advantage of good matchups. If you don't have them, I have four streamers for you. Baltimore, they are facing Cleveland. The Browns, I mean, they showed signs of life last week, but they are a really good matchup. Four sacks allowed per game. And somehow they've allowed five fumble recoveries to opposing defenses already. That's a lot. Tampa facing New Orleans because Jameis Winston. I'm not giving you any analysis because none is necessary. Cincinnati facing Tennessee. Tannehill has been sacked 13 times this season, and the Bengals just racked up six sacks last night like them. And then if you're a little bit desperate here, Seattle versus the Giants. Seattle defense is not good, but the Giants offense is also not good. They're allowing four sacks per game. Four interceptions thrown, so that's a good spot there for Seattle. If you are that type of person who scours rankings and you're like, well, I have the defense that's ranked 7, but this defense is ranked 4 and they're on waivers. Honestly, you're overthinking it. I'll be bluntly honest here. You just want a defense in a good matchup. There's no sense in trying to squeeze every single fraction of a fantasy point out of a defense. Focus your energy elsewhere. And, you know, if you have any one of those defenses I just mentioned, I think you're in a good spot. Now, obviously, if you look to waivers and it's Baltimore, Tampa, Cincinnati, and Seattle on waivers, yeah, I'd prefer Baltimore, honestly, and then take it from there. But, and if one of those top defenses is out there, then I'd rather one of them because they're a multi-week defense. Like Cleveland, you can roster them all season long. Very likely. Hopefully. Hopefully. You'll notice the Buffalo Bills are not on the list, by the way. And I would drop the Bills for another defense this week because they are facing Miami. All right, that's going to do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk rankings and all that jazz. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Hook it up. Hook it up. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter as well. So I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.